Who believes the Lord is great? While we're standing, I'd like to one more time take a moment to honor our chairman and his fine wife, our assistants, every member of every board. I thought about our youth leaders. Our evangelists were here. Thank God for all our ministry. Our ladies' auxiliary, saints of God, and every pastor and evangelist and minister in this place. It's an honor to be in the house of the Lord. I know how every day we're busy. You get up early in the morning. Our board has been working on many things, very much detail. I know they're tired. I know you're going at meetings full time, from morning till night. And I know how the body gets tired. I know that. And I know how we're doing so many things, but I believe right now God wants to touch us tonight. I know we get weary with our body, but I believe God has a touch on everyone in this building tonight. If you only worship the Lord with me, I know God has a blessing for you. I want you to join hands with someone. You're not going to be tired anymore. We're going to forget everything that's been going on. We're just going to worship the Lord tonight. Who really wants a blessing? Come on, I'm serious now. Who really wants a blessing? Right now, all the taxing things that we've got to do tomorrow, the fellowship is afterwards, I want us to lay that aside. I want you to pray for the one that's next to you. I want every minister on this platform to be blessed tonight. I want God to minister to every one of us in this building. We're in a crucial time, but you're an important people. I want to talk about that tonight, how important you really are. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the hand of someone beside you. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we need your touch. We need you, Lord. That was on you. It's impossible. So come. Lord, we're nothing without you, Jesus. That we know that you can bless everyone in this auditorium tonight. Forget our cares. Forget our business meetings, Lord. Forget our revivals of next week. Our financial problems. Our sicknesses. Our health problems. God, we need you now. We need you now, Lord. Bless your people. Bless the one next to us, Lord. Anoint them. Lord, in a mighty way. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I have asked all day that the Lord would bless everyone this auditorium. I mean special. I mean that with all my heart. I feel there's troubled hearts. I know the troubles, but I know I have a Savior that is a strong God, a concerned God. My wife and I's 25th anniversary falls this week. Yesterday, as we celebrated, now we even get on that boat with all those young people going down that river. I thought of 25 years, how fast it goes by. But I thought how precious the days they are. And I've learned this in serving the Lord. We must take every day and we must enjoy them. We can get caught up. You as a preacher. You're the lady of your church. You're the ministering body. But listen, God wants to touch you tonight. Sometimes you're working so hard. And the Lord warns us, we work so hard sometimes that we forget what we're doing. We get busy ministering. We get busy with our business. We need some old-fashioned Holy Ghost anointing. We need a touch from heaven. And I'm praying that God is going to do that for you tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Familiar words, but they're precious every time we read them together. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. The 13th verse says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For they say such things, declare plainly that they seek the country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. Hallelujah. If it sounds in a 30-second verse like a preacher's been preaching a while, and he said, what do I more say? I'm running out of time, in other words. For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jesse, of David also, and Samuel the prophets, who through faith they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. Stopped the mouth of lions. Yeah. They quenched the violence of fire. Yeah. They escaped the edge of a sword. Right. Out of wickedness, they were made strong. Yeah. They waxed down in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women, they received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawed asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the desert and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Let's praise Him. Come on, let's praise Him for the word of the Lord. Oh, glory! Glory! Hallelujah!
Praise God. You may be seated. I listened to the words of Brother Martin. He laid to us the foundation, and we know what the world is like. We know what's all around us. I don't have to tell you again. Every pastor, every family knows what's going on in our world and how bad condition it's in. But the reader let us know that it's not always what it seems. Brother Sheldon Young let us know something God put a head around this great church. I said, God put the heads around us. I began to look at this and I read in Haggai. But I looked at all in this faithful chapter, how strong a faith these men are, and women, and people of God, that they love this truth. That they didn't just count on something coming right now. They couldn't even see what was coming before them. But they loved this truth enough that they were going to live this thing. We've seen how they died. A lot of people say, I'll die for this thing. I'll die, I'll give my life for it. But Jesus wants us to live for this thing. He doesn't just want you to die, He wants you to live. I began to look at the strength of these fine men of God before us. Then the word of Haggai told us, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. I want you to live to these words. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. I begin to realize that God has told this generation, this is the most beautiful generation there is. If our forefathers, without having the Holy Ghost, like you and I have it in this auditorium, come on, aren't you glad about the Holy Ghost? If our forefathers, even Abraham, as he took his son, and we know the story, as he laid him on that altar, knowing that God was going to be the provider, I believe with all my heart that when he picked up his hand to come down on that son, all along, he knew the anointing that he felt for living with God, that God was going to make a way. If Noah, by faith, being warned of God, not seen as yet, he moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. I begin to realize what a faithful person. You know, a lot of times we complain and we get discouraged about little problems. We make sicknesses where it just tears our faith down. When things come upon us, we get so discouraged. Listen, we have no right to get discouraged. How do you think it would have been if the Lord spoke to you like he did Noah? He said, Noah, build me an ark. It's going to rain. Sure. Come on. Everybody really doing it. We get down and out when people mock us, make fun of us. We get down and out when things just don't go the way we want. We get discouraged when someone don't get the Holy Ghost as quite as fast as we want it. When things don't quite go the way things seem to be should. They were ridiculing him. They mocked him. Noah, you big dummy. I can just see it now. Some of us will lay it down. You know how long he worked on that? I'll tell you what, we need some apostolic people like that today. We need some saints of God like that. We need a faith move of God like that in all of us. We get ready to lay it down. But they didn't even see the promise. I begin to look at all the strength there was in people like Noah, Abraham, Isaac. I even look farther in this chapter, and I know you've read it many times. Even Rahab perished not because she listened to the word of God. I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to perish. We're not going downhill. We're going up. Jesus said, this is going to be the best thing It's going to be a glorious, great house. Clap to the Lord if you believe that. Come on, clap to Him. Glory.
I begin to look back and think about writers like Isaiah and Joel. The Bible says that Isaiah felt the anointing of God so strong, I can just feel it. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I think about these men of God. How they didn't really have the Holy Ghost speaking like we do, but yet the Holy Ghost comes down on them. And I can see him. Whoever felt the Holy Ghost was strong, you just shake. Who knows what I'm talking about? Come on, wave your hand. Come on now. And the Lord said, I want you to write something. And he felt the anointing. All of a sudden, he began to write. He don't even know what it's all about yet. But he began to pin these words. He said, for unto us. And the anointing all over him. A child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor. The mighty God. Isaiah said, who is that? Who is that? Woo! I feel him. The everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. And I get to see him. I want to know him. I want to meet him. I want to know who I'm writing about. And then some more words come to him. Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from his forth forever and ever. And he began to feel the Holy Ghost of God. Come on now. I talk about fear of God. I like to feel the Lord. I begin to look at Joel. In the second chapter, the Lord began to deal with him about sounding the trumpet. Come on, let's get the church excited. If anybody ought to be excited, it ought to be us here at this conference. 1990, we're a privileged people. I'm not too tired yet, are you? We'll begin to shape with anointing. He began to pin the words down. What is this? There's going to be a great time. It's coming. Am I going to feel it? And I'm going to speak to my people. Joe, you've never seen it, but you're a good man. You've got a good report. I'm going to tell you something. We need some people with some good reports. We need to be together on this thing. So, he began to pin it down. They're going to speak to my people. I'm going to speak to my people with another tongue. Who knows what he's talking about? Come on, who knows what he's talking about? Woo! I'm going to speak to the old folks. I'm going to make old people feel young again. I see some new old people feel young when they get the Holy Ghost. Don't they know what he's talking about? I'm going to use the youth. I'm going to give them. I'm going to give visions. We found out in the book of Acts. Oh, hallelujah. When Peter came out preaching that message, Peter said, as they begin to speak in tongues, as they begin to feel this anointing, this is that.
Yeah.
You know it, Joel. Yeah. You know Joel the prophet.
Yeah.
Who knows it tonight?
Yeah.
This is that.
Yeah.
That was spoken out by Joel.
Yeah.
Glory. They begin to move with God. They begin to feel the anointing of God. But I'm going to tell you something. I begin to read this. What the Lord told us about men that did not know as much as many of you that's in this auditorium. We have the Holy Ghost. I said we have the Holy Ghost in a different way. It's not anointing on us. It's not just a feeling of the Spirit. You've got it inside of you. That's why the Lord said, the writings come to this generation. Someone mentioned the early church, early America. He was not ready yet for that. God's going to use this generation. This is going to be the most unusual generation. This is going to be the most excited evangelist area. This is going to be the decade for us not to get lukewarm, get tired, get disturbed. Don't get wore out. You've been doing some good, but don't get done yet. We're not over yet. I said we're just beginning. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. God's going to bring peace. I'm going to tell you something. I feel this tonight. Do you know what the glory of the Lord is? Do you know what the peace of God is? We cannot have peace and allow the glory of God to work if we're only going to refer back to how they used to be. We can't keep looking back to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I can't keep looking back to Peter, Paul. I can't keep looking back to Susan Street. I gotta look now. I said we gotta look now. 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 Jesus, Jesus. Now. Jesus. Stand your feet and love him. God the King. Jesus. Jesus. Glory. Let me tell you something. We have forgotten something. The early church, when someone was put in prison, when there was sickness, they went automatic to prayer. They went to worship it. We got so used to being together in conference, business. We're taking sides. We're getting ready about business. We're so much, we can't even get excited about the name of Jesus, and we're the best generation. We can't stand our feet on our own. We need to stand up because you love God. I believe in miracles. I said I still believe in miracles. I still believe in the move of God. If we are going to have the glory of the Lord in our presence, we've got to get past looking at one another and saying, man, we've got 5 or 6, 7, 10, 30 real good apostolic church in this organization. I believe our chairman wants to walk in your building if you've got 5 in it. Amen. It'll be as most powerful as the one that has 1,200 in it. We've got to save Jesus. We have got down. The devil's tore your minds apart. Some of you evangelists, if or not you don't have a report of a lot of people getting the Holy Ghost, you get down. Forget it. If you are edified a church, you'll preach in Jesus' name. God's blessing it. Quit looking for things. Pastors, you carry. You work hard. And I felt it when you feel and there's this pain across the world. Things aren't quite working the way you felt it should. Or quick enough. And the devil says, give it up. Go sit with somebody else. I'm telling you, God has called this generation to be an excellent generation. A powerful people. This is a powerful group of ministry in this auditorium. I believe that. We need to exercise it. My daughter, not too many months ago, seems like time goes so fast. A little girl behind us, she wanted a Sunday school. Brought her and she began to come, and parents never came. And time went by. Her older son was on drugs, and some boy gave him some, and he fell off. And a dam fell down in it and drowned and died. The neighbor beside him came over to our yard. He said, "Pastor, you don't know me, but I know you're a good person." So, you know. But the gossip just lost his son. Maybe you can have some words that can help them. I went over there and, my, it's a hard time to help someone that lost their loved one. But we just loved them. I didn't preach nothing to them, just let them know we're there. They didn't go to church. Their daughter come to Sunday school. Time went by, and before I know it, we got a call. And his wife was in the hospital. We went and visited her. She went down and just shocked. Sooner than I went and visited, and we just shared with them. And a few weeks went by, and she called and said, "You know, since you have taken our daughter to Sunday school, and we really need to get our little one in church. And we need to get ourselves in church, but we're sort of looking around. And we'd probably try your church out. Now, we don't want a dead church, but we don't want a Holy Roller church either." Oh, man. Man. I said, "Well, just come on to Sunday school. We'll help you out." They came. They came to another service. Pretty soon they come to Sunday night. And you just can't stop that apostolic movement. And you love God, it's just going to bubble up inside you. Even at a conference, you can't stand there very long if the Holy Ghost moves on you. I want you to know they both came to the altar. One went this way. One went that way. They began to speak in tongues. We baptized them. She became the loudest, the runnest, the most orderly one we had in church. We need churches that's going to give us something to come to. We got people. We need to have a people that bring this message. My Lord. They wasn't in our church 6 months. Royal family. On a Wednesday night, they came to an altar, normal time, at the church to pray, and the move of God was so strong, I couldn't let go of that service. Like the Lord wanted us to stay around that altar. He stayed, and he stayed. Usually they leave right away at the prayer. He stayed. God began to bless him. He began to speak in tongues and praise the Lord. And all of a sudden, at the very end, he went down. Boom. Here he had an aneurysm. And completely went in a coma. Right in our church. A family been in our church 6 months. Not knowing that much about this way. But counting on people that know God. We rushed him to the hospital. Went in there. Waiting in that waiting room. To hear something. Praying. Doctor came out and said, "There's no hope. His brain is completely twisted. He's in agony and pain. We called for a specialist just to relieve the pain. That's all we could do." Ask the Lord. "God, this new thing, I need a miracle. I need a miracle." We cannot forget to keep asking God for miracles. I went in there, and the surgeon was there, and the nurses and the staff. And I went up and I said, I'd like to pray for him for you. Do anything else? This doctor, make the name? Filipino doctor. And he, what's your name? Really? And he was standing there on his own with the gospel, his hands all over him. And I just put my hand on the doctor's hand. Right on top of him, when he comes to chat. And I said, I want to pray. And he looked up at me and he said, so I'm talking. I told him. I know he was. And I said, Lord, I want you to guide his hands. That he touches nothing important. Lord, you do the rest. And bless this guy. That was it. I want you to know, I went out, Sister Ruth. I was in that waiting room with his wife. I come out, and I just felt this. I said, it's going to be all right. The Lord's going to heal it. We claimed it. She said, I'll never forget this. She said, all right, Brother Smith, I'm going to take the kids home. You stay with him. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
My God, most wanted, stand there. And she just went on home with those babies, left her pastor there with her husband. By faith. By faith. Who's got the faith of the church? The world. I said, the world's counting on you. I said, the world is counting on you. More important, the Lord is counting on you. We waited. He came out. He was in a coma. Could not move. Could not even move his eyes. I'm still waiting on the promise of God. He was a veteran. They took him to Veterans Hospital Cleveland. They put it on monitors. Never moved. Never moved. But they still held on to faith. His wife went through every day. Sister Ruth, I was here one time visiting. Never moved. Sister Ruth said something to him. We're praying for you, brother. Body. He went. And the minister of the morning said, he moved. He moved. Of course he moved. God's going to heal us. I said, God's going to hear him. I serve an awesome God. He came out of that hospital and they put him in a wheelchair. Could not move. Put him in a veterans hospital. Sister Johnson said, we've got to get him home on weekends. If I get him to church, I know something's going to happen. By God, faith of people don't even know God. And here we know the truth. We have this thing. We preach this thing. We ought to be excited.
Yeah.
I went to that veterans hospital and they were not letting him home on no weekend passes. No. She was just a frail little thing. He was a pretty good sized man. There's no way she could handle it home. I talked to a very dear friend of mine, head of the Vietnam Veterans Association of Ohio. He said, Pastor, if they don't let him go, I'll come and they'll let him out. I went up there and I stood before this board, big round table, I'll never forget. There's all sitting on a big staff, you know, unbelievers there now. I said, I want for Lonnie Gossett to come with me in a wheelchair. We're taking him to church on the weekends. I'll take care of him. No way. Who are you? I'm his pastor. So what? That's where the world thinks about the church today. You know why? They've seen the church, not us. They've seen other churches don't have nothing. It doesn't mean nothing. But it's time that they see the real church. When we say something, it means something. I said, it means something. I said, if you don't let him out, I'm calling the head of the Vietnam veterans. And you'll let him out then. Stitch is like that. He said, let him out. Let him out. I'll never forget this. They dressed him and put him in a wheelchair. Here we come out, Sister Ruth and I, and Sister Gossett. Put him in the car, took him home. Still couldn't move, put him in the car. Sunday night, we were in our church. We began to worship God. I said, we're going to worship God. We began to praise God. We got all about the Lord. You know, just It's part of the family. We're just waiting on God. All of a sudden, we start having church. We forgot the burdens of life. We forgot we got a board meeting 8 o'clock in the morning. Come on, church. It's not always them. It's us. It's you. It's me. Come on. They forgot we're going to have fellowship eating hamburgers at the church. Come on, hurry up, everybody. All of a sudden, no one laid hands on him. No great move of someone feeling something. Stood up. And he began to magnify God. Magnify him. Magnify him. Magnify him. What I'm saying, the glory of the latter church should be greater than the Father. It's got to be. It's got to be. It must be. He forgot all about the image he said condition is in. All of a sudden he looks down. What am I doing? I'll tell you what it was. God healed him. You know the beauty of this? I wish everyone that's on the car could have been with me Monday morning. Monday morning. It was more fun than church. It was more fun than church. I couldn't wait to get dressed. Brother Gossett was dressing himself. We walked up. We went and drove the car. We took the wheelchair. If you had only been there, he wheeled it in. Again, he gave it to him. The Lord spoke to me to let everyone in this auditorium know you haven't seen nothing yet. Listen, don't fit the story. We've got the best group of ministry. The devil has to tear apart. The devil's a liar. I said the devil's a liar. We got the best pastors. We got the best evangelists. And the devil's like to tear it apart. He like to make you feel, I've only got 20 people. I don't want to talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about it. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Did you hear Brother Erskine the other night when he told a bit to you about that little boy? I knew about that. Listen, what's wrong with us? Did you hear what the little boy said? I know you got excited about the 120, 170. I got more excited about that little boy. Yeah. Why don't you come to my daddy's church? Yeah. It's the best church! Yeah. 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 Go out! Yeah. It's the best church! Yeah. It's the best! Conference! Devil, I'd like you to be a dead beat. Devil, I'd like you to be tired. You like to work on your mind. Help me preach. Help me preach. Clap your hands to the Lord. Woo! Blow the trumpet! Blow it! We have caused our own young people to get discouraged. You're not even proud of it yourself. How you going to get them proud of it? Oh, they have the little box trailer. He brought them in there. This is my daddy's church. It wasn't too long ago we didn't have a church here. I'm proud of this church. I'm proud of this work. My God. Because the Lord said, this generation. You know what? We've been preaching. We've been hearing it. We've been saying, yeah. Shame on you. We need some Holy Ghost prayer time. Shouting time. I'm proud of that feeling, God. I had a young man. He's an architect. Can I say this? Can I say this? Come on. Look at church. You need to have some church. We need to have some church. Can't leave his home church. An architect. He got a chance to do some architect work on this large denominational church. Over 5,000, 6,000. And this is his job. He's working in it all week long. But the pastor got up one service, he's there in the midweek service, he's come home on the weekend. And the pastor said that at the end of the month, we're going to have a baptism. All the ones that are unbaptized, we'll do it such and such day. You know, program. And I guess 23 came up to be baptized. This young apostolic boy said, God, if I can only cut you up, it's showing how to really baptize them.
Yeah.
God, I wish I'd get a chance to teach them our doctrine. It doesn't always open that way,
oh.
To be faithful. Don't sway on this message.
That's right.
I think every church, young, small, Australia, they're not excited about me here. Philippines, Africa, Tennessee, Ohio, Arkansas, Texas, Maine, wherever you're from, we need to preach the same thing. We ought to look the same way. We ought to feel the same thing. We need to be together. Now, Baptists are going to have to worry when they go back and forth. Scared to death. They'll offend somebody. Well, they'll just be the same way. I said, I'll be the same thing. He's prayed all week long. God, let me get a chance. This is some of the glory of God. It's going to shine out later. I said, with a better church. Oh, we've almost got position. The early church was the most powerful. No way! This church is! This church is! This young man, he stayed that weekend. That Sunday night, at the church, after the message. Wow. Call over the people. Pastor, come forward. The young man understands that. Thank you. He said, I want you to all line up. He'll get baptized. And he's been in the bird. Almost hate to stay there a lot. And the Lord. Actually, this is the greater church. Yeah, not just one person. So was little David. The pastor said, I don't know why, but
the Lord just spoke to me to call this young man.
I won't use you.
Would you come up here? And he walked up on the platform and he said, when I baptize him,
this kid, I love it.
Will you say the words over this baptism? You know what he did? He does like we do sometimes.
Man, I can't do this. I can't say what they say.
But the Lord said,
you asked me
to let you speak to the pastor. What a better way to speak to him. I want you to know, as that pastor,
I know he was waiting on something.
And he said, on the confession of your faith and your willingness to be baptized, I now baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Next one. My God, this is the greatest church. You're the greatest people. You're the best preacher. God chose you. After it's all over, the pastor felt the confusion.
Man, what am I going to do now?
He said, well, I don't want to question this. I don't want no one to say nothing to me. Because I asked the Lord, and the Lord said to bring him up, dismissed. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where it's going to go from here. But I don't know where we're going to go from here. But I know we're going to get better. Better.